The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally's also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. He joins us when he can. This is one of those when he cans. Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm pretty good, but I'll tell you something that disturbed me, and this is national ban on romaine lettuce. What the government is actually saying to us there is that the government, the United States government, doesn't know of one safe source of romaine lettuce in the entire country. And if you think about it, I mean, I ask this question in return. How's that deregulation down at the Agriculture Department working out for everybody?
But
if it's
was
all
it,
self-regulation.
But I was, and perhaps it was a misapprehension, but I was under, because it was Thanksgiving, because that's since been way limited to California romaine. And I was under the misapprehension that it was just because it was so close to Thanksgiving and you had basically, you know, no way of managing it. So,
well, I actually think it underscores that as a nation, whatever we're growing, whatever we're butchering, our food has little or no oversight. That's the message I got. And I looked up some statistics. I mean, I think it's actually no wonder that we have 9 million cases a year of foodborne illnesses in this country. I mean, sophisticated nation like ours, I think that's ridiculous. So once again, it falls back on ourselves to protect ourselves. Yet, when you think about all the myths out there about food, the old wives' tales, I mean, the question for the listeners is, you know, do you know the facts to keep the food that you serve to your family and to yourself, do you keep that food safe? So we're going to have a little fun with this today, Jill. We're going to do a little quiz.
Okay.
And you are going to be standing in for every person. And so this is a pop quiz, completely unrehearsed, as you will very soon, everyone will see this. But I took a lot of preparation on my end because I got the help of my daughter, Carla Lally Music. She's the food director at Bon Appetit magazine at Condé Nast. She runs the company Test Kitchen, and she's an expert on food safety back to when she was the original general manager of the first Shake Shack. So yeah, yes, folks, there was a time when there was only one Shake Shack and Carla ran it. Now, by the way, if you're also interested in sort of entertaining and informative recipe demos, go to YouTube, then go to Bon Appetit and punch in Carla's name, Carla Lally Music. You'll get all kinds of terrific demos. And you can go to Amazon and order her new book, Where Cooking Begins. So she helped me with the quiz. I plugged her book. All right. You're
and
ready,
I'm
going to
throw, before the quiz starts, I'm going to throw in and watch the outtakes, too, because they're really hilarious.
Yeah. Well, it's a very entertaining
thing. It's a very entertaining thing. You're absolutely right. Good plug.
It's great on TV. Good plug. Okay. So now you won't be so happy about Carla when you get these questions. All right, Jill. What's the dirtiest spot in your kitchen?
My kitchen?
Tick-tock.
No idea.
Huh?
No idea.
No idea. Okay. It's actually your refrigerator's vegetable bin. Now, think about it. Produce has a little dirt on it. It might be a little wet. Germs multiply in cool, wet places. So to be safe, you should be washing your food bins with hot, soapy water at least once every 2 weeks, and then just let them dry in the air. You should be washing your refrigerator, including the sides of the panels. You should be doing that at least once every 2 months. And if you spill anything in your refrigerator, now this I think we do automatically, but you spill anything, it's really important. Wipe it up immediately. That's a little wetness, a little puddle there. The germs will be very happy if you don't wipe that up.
And what do you wipe
it up
with?
Next question. Oh, a clean cloth.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, the same thing. Soapy water and then a clean cloth. Okay, this one, you know, give me your thoughts on this. What do you think the right temperature should be for your refrigerator and for your freezer?
I don't know that. I do know that I once asked my brother, the lettuce grower, what you were supposed to keep produce at. Were you supposed to keep it in plastic and at what temperature? So what are the actual numbers?
Okay, for the fridge itself, it should be below 38 degrees. Very often fridges are around 40. Below 38, freezer should be zero. So if you don't have an automatic readout on your refrigerator, the new ones do. But if you don't, get a fridge thermometer and hang it in the middle of your fridge, center shelf, middle of the center shelf. That'll give you your best reading. Okay, Jill, another one. Can you freeze food to kill germs?
No.
Tick-tock. No, you're absolutely right. Freezing retards bacteria growth. It does that, but it doesn't kill it. And then people feel, kind of self-confident. I got frozen food. I'm fine. When you defrost it in the wrong way, you can spread those germs all over the place. So Carla says, always thaw your frozen food in the refrigerator. And you got to allow plenty of time for it. 24 hours for every 5 pounds. So if you've got a frozen burger, a 1 pound burger, you need to thaw that out for 5 hours in your fridge, then take it out and then cook it. All right, this one's tricky, Jill. Do the microwaves in your microwave oven kill germs?
I don't know because I don't use my microwave. I can't imagine because here's my problem, and I got to cut to this because it's part of food safety, and it has to do, in my view. And this happens to me 4 or 5 times a week. And that is that things that are perfectly good and look perfectly good from the supermarket or the butcher are brought in. And I start smelling them. And they smell fine. And I start cooking them. And if it's slightly off, I just make it go away. So there's a whole temperature process, P.S., where you determine whether what you're actually cooking is any good for you. I've got no idea about microwave because I don't cook in a microwave. I would think no.
Well, okay, so don't count on the microwave. The microwaves themselves don't kill anything, okay? But the heat that the microwave generates, that kills germs. So microwaves are great for like reheating soup, reheating gravy, that kind of thing. If it's a liquid like that, just pump the microwave up until the stuff begins to boil, then you're safe. I would say on the other thing about bringing things home from a store and it doesn't smell right, don't go back to that. I mean, you can return that stuff and get your money back, but don't go back to that store too many times. That would scare me.
Right, and because they're coming in from big outfits, this is the thing. I'm referring specifically to, it's not necessarily the store. What a lot of people don't focus on is their trip, the product's trip to wherever the store is, and the different refrigeration and the different levels of temperature, and the fact that it can start out fine and have a mishap along the way.
Well, that's interesting because one of Carla's tips is always buy your ground beef in the store where it was ground. Never buy from a central commissary someplace and then it's shipped in. Go to a store that grounds its own beef so you've got it as fresh as you can. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think the most important safety tool every cook should have? What do you think it would be?
Rubber gloves and a soap and water.
Well, look, Carla says it's a food thermometer.
Okay.
And you should be using it all the time because you want to be free of germs. You cook the food until the magic number comes up. You insert the thermometer into the heart of what you're cooking, and then you look for the magic number. So you can actually jot these down. You want about 165 degrees for chicken and leftovers. You want 150 for ground beef. That's rough, okay? About 135 to 45 degrees, a little bit less for fish. You don't want to overcook the fish. It won't taste so great. And for steak, she's recommending 125 to 130. That's the way we like it, which is kind of medium rare. All right. Here's an important one, Jill. Should you rinse your chicken in running water in your sink before you cook it? Do you ever do that?
All of your were you talking about a whole chicken?
Yeah, when you're taking a chicken home, yeah.
You're talking about a whole chicken as opposed to chicken breasts that have already been pounded, for example.
Well, either way, even with chicken breasts, do you think you should rinse it off before you cook it?
I have read two different things about it, so I don't know the answer. I rinse.
All right. Carla's really adamant about this. Never do that.
Okay.
Never do that. because what you're doing is spray. If let's say that it does have salmonella or some listeria, whatever is in there, yeah, you're spraying it all over your sink. You're spraying it over your countertop. Carla makes a very important point that the biggest risk you're running is contamination of the food you're eating, not undercooking it. That's what people assume. No, it's really cross-contamination, and you're increasing the risk when you wash something like a chicken, sprays all over the place, then that raw meat juice touches something like a salad that you're going to eat raw, then you're in trouble. Okay. So watch out for cross-contamination. She goes beyond that and actually has a whole set of rim trays that she uses for meats, so she keeps the raw juices off her counter. So the counter never gets wet. It remains pristine. She also then, as soon as she's finished with preparing her chicken, she would take that tray directly to the dishwasher so no juices get around her kitchen. She also has a separate set of wooden cutting boards. So she has one just for food and vegetable, right? Just fruit and vegetables. And she has one for meats, and she never mixes those two. That'll help keep you safe, too.
So with keeping kosher, we're getting...
Well, it's like keeping... It is. And you know what? I mean, there's food sanitary rules is part of that tradition and history. But let's have fun with this one. Do you believe in the five-second rule? If you drop food on the floor, or the back of your dog, whatever, not to cast any aspersions, but do you have 5 seconds then to pick it up and eat it before the bacteria has a chance to contaminate it?
I can't answer that because there's usually dog hair around, so it wouldn't be. It's a floor, as somebody once said. It's a floor. So it kind of depends on what it is. If it's a wrapped piece of something, yes, you can unwrap it and eat it. But if it's a grape, whatever.
Yeah, if it's a grape, don't do it. Yeah, now bacteria actually doesn't have legs, okay, but it doesn't need legs because it actually moves through moisture. So if the food is moist or whatever at all, it's going to move instantaneously. So if you drop it, chuck it before you chuck it, if you get my subtlety there. And the longer it's on the floor, on the back of your dog, I mean, the more germs you're going to get. Now, the same goes with knives and forks and spoons. You know, if you drop one of those, don't do it. Nameless people in my own family, I have to say, don't rub it with a napkin and eat with it. Replace it.
Or please wash it. You're allowed to wash it. You can do that. But
For sure. Oh, right. For sure. Yeah, you could then take it into the kitchen. You can then wash it. Then you come back
and
you can eat with the thing you dropped on the floor.
Right.
All right. Now, this is a bit of a trick question, but if you insist on eating something, what do you think that's been dropped? What do you think would be safer, picking it up from a rug or linoleum or a wooden floor?
I have everything, and I don't, because it totally depends on the amount of hair. Or whatever. So I'm bad. Sorry.
Well, it's actually a rug.
I would
because
think.
Of the pile.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fewer points of contact, but compared to a flat surface, if you drop something on a flat surface, boom, you know, you've got instantaneous contamination. But look, don't test any of these theories at
home.
Really. Is what I'm trying to tell you. You know, you drop it, throw it away.
It seems like the simplest.
Wash it, bring it back.
It
is, if you use common sense.
Oh, what's
but here's
that?
Question.
Wait.
I wonder if you're going to get this one.
All right, one more, and then we're going to, as you said, I have to find out what happens if you go out. If you leave the house.
Well, that's the one I'm going
to... Okay.
That's the one I'm going to ask you. Okay, so this is... Get ready for this one now. What's the best time to wash your hands at a restaurant? Tick-tock.
Before
tick-tock.
You eat.
Before you eat. That's close, but no, it's not right. The thing to remember at restaurants is the menus and the wine lists, they're swimming with germs.
Yeah.
So it's best carefully check the menu, check that wine list, make really good choices, get the waitress, waiter over, place your order, then get up, go to the restroom and wash up.
In other words, before you eat?
Before you eat.
I didn't say before you order.
Handle the menu, handle the wine list. Place your order, then get up and go to the restroom and wash up, then come back and eat.
I am going to I'm going to challenge you almost on that, because that's what I meant before you eat.
Oh, before you eat. Oh, I thought. All right, I didn't.
Yeah, I understand. You were waiting. You were trying to get me.
Jill, once again, you've cut right to the heart of it. You're absolutely correct. Before you eat, and after you've touched that menu, and before you eat.
That's right, because everything else could be deeply grotty. Now, guess what, Frank? I hope I passed because we're out of time.
Good.
And thank
I
you,
think
Frank.
You did very well.
Yeah, okay, good. And thank you, Frank. And thank you, Carla Lally Music. Frank, the healthcare detective, and Carla, the, I can't remember all of her titles, but the head of something at Bon Appetit. Is it?
Well, she's food director, but she's food. She's also a food safety expert and somebody worth listening to. She knows what she's cooking.
Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, online in stores.